Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for Innovative Wellness Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, Innovative Wellness Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. Innovative Wellness Center. At 515-355-3200.
They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Thanks again, and welcome into another edition of Real Golf Radio, U.S. Open recap version. I'm Brian Taylor, he's Bob Casper. His dad, Billy Casper, won two U.S. Opens. So he does that have that in common with Bryson DeChambeau now. Having won at Wingfoot, which also Billy Casper and Bryson DeChambeau have won, and then Olympic Club and Pinehurst, some pretty good venues there for winning your U.S. Open. And, you know, to John Bodenhammer's point, it does matter where people win their major championships.
100%.
They want to be at the cathedrals of the game, and Pinehurst is certainly one of those. I start off by hats off to the USGA for the event, the venue, the way they set it up, and the drama that it produced. And right along with that, of course, is the players and the way they attacked it and played it, how they put everything on the line. We're going to talk a lot about Bryson's triumph. We're going to talk a lot about Rory McIlroy in defeat. You don't have the opportunity to experience the success without putting yourself out there on the line with the risk of experiencing the heartache and the failure. And that's 100%. What makes it worth watching. That's why it was so compelling. If there's nothing on the line, there is nothing to play for. There's nothing to gain. There's nothing to lose. And so I absolutely love the, you know, the quote, story, poem, whatever, the man in the arena. And that's what I think about when I think about what Rory did. And there's a lot of people that want to sit back and criticize Rory. But look, if you've never put yourself there before, if you've never had that feeling, if you've never, you know, experienced the agony of defeat, you don't really have a place to sit back and criticize the person who has. And not taking anything away from Bryson. I'm all in on Bryson and his win, and we're going to talk so much about how he performed. But also, I'm not going to spend the next 2 hours criticizing Rory McIlroy and nitpicking his. There's certainly things to talk about, don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
that was heartbreaking. It was tough, and yet it's so compelling. And so my position is one of appreciation for a player to being willing to put himself in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, and I was heartbroken for Rory with those two short putts that he missed. It was tough to swallow, and tough to swallow for him. 496 of 496 three-footers, and he missed one. In a U.S. Open.
Unreal. We'll get into it all next. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Have you noticed the hype around retinol lately? It's all over my social media. But did you know you can get retinol in a body wash? Amazing, right? Olay Retinol Body Wash is packed with moisturizing vitamin B3 complex plus retinol to transform dry skin to visibly renewed in just 14 days. Try it the next time you shower and see the difference for yourself with Olay Retinol Body Wash for visibly renewed skin in just 14 days. And try Olay Retinol 24 Body Lotion.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months. If eligibility requirements are met, for network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or going to the grocery store for milk instead of buying your own cow. You know there's an easier and better way. Save up to 25% when you bundle home and auto with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
No one knows the importance of a great assist more than Lowe's and Leo Messi. That's why we've teamed up to give My Lowe's Rewards members 10 times the points when Messi makes an assist during CONMEBOL Copa America USA 2024. Activate this offer starting June 20th, so when Messi assists, you score. Shop the day after an assist to earn those extra points. Not a My Lowe's Rewards member? Join for free today.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
This segment is brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. BlackDesertResort.com for all the details on the resort and to book a tee time at the Tom Weisskopf Championship Design. Learn more about real estate as well. You can also go to BlackDesertEvents.com for details on the upcoming PGA Tour event this fall and the LPGA Tour event next spring, including tickets, hospitality, sponsorship, volunteer, all of that, blackdesertevents.com or blackdesertresort.com. And we thank you again for joining us here on Real Golf Radio. At Real Golf on X is where you can find us or download us where your favorite podcast is found. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone in Salt Lake City, Utah is our flagship radio station. Talking golf with you for 25 years. It's a pleasure to be with you. Pinehurst delivered the 124th and the 1,000th USGA Championship was unreal. Bryson DeChambeau, what a show coming down the stretch. Bob, let me just ask you this. I'm sitting there, I'm watching Rory, you know, Rory's on the 18th tee, Bryson's on the 17th tee. That was great drama, by the way. What a great setup. Yeah. And both of them had been a little shaky, you know, for a couple of holes. And Bryson stepped up there on 17, and when he just hit that shot, I said, that's a go take it shot right there. Bryson's like,
oh yeah,
we're down to the final here. It's a go take it. And he absolutely hit a perfect shot, a beautiful shot into 17. He didn't end up making the birdie, but I just loved that. I think that kind of settled him. Like, I think that was a stand up and face the pressure and the music and have to hit the shot. And he did it. And then right about then Rory hits driver on 18 and puts himself in a pretty tough spot, right? So I thought right there, that little exchange was very compelling.
It was very compelling. And the interesting thing about that natural area or that native grass area is that, yes, it was up in the air as far as good lies, bad lies, all that kind of stuff. Rory absolutely got a horrendous lie where he couldn't even advance it to the green with a short wedge. Mm-hmm. And the ball, it was sitting right behind the tuft. He hit the shot. The ball went into it. It came out low, and it ends up just short of the green. Well, it seemed like Bryson, every time he drove it in that junk, he always had a shot, and he always advanced it. He got it either on the green or up close to the green and got it up and down and that kind of thing. So that was what was really cool about the golf course is that – those things could happen, and you would think he's dead because he hit it out in the native area, and not all the time that happened. Bryson even said a lot of times that didn't happen to him was because his stance and his shaft angle, because all of his clubs are the same length, is more upright than what other players are. So, but having said that, that shot that he hit on the 17th hole, taking on that bunker, taking on that flag on the right side, where the flag was only three or four paces from the right edge, the margin of error on that shot, as you said, was a go take it shot, and he took it. And then, you know, the part that drove me nuts is when Rory missed that putt on the 16th hole. If he would have made that putt, I think the outcome would have been totally different. The momentum would have stayed with him and stayed, and he probably would have gone par, and the golf tournament would have been over. But by virtue of missing that putt, it set a whole line of events in play that ended up with Bryson winning the golf tournament.
I agree with you. So then let me ask you this, from a course management or match play almost situation where they were at that point, Rory goes driver. I guess the Sky Sports, I wasn't listening to it, but a lot of the comments on Twitter and stuff were that the Sky Sports guys were just absolutely roasting Rory because I guess earlier in the week he'd hit three wood like wedge in there or something like that.
Yeah.
So he hits driver, gets, you know, and you think being in the fairway there is critical in order to control your shot in and leave yourself with a makeable putt, kind of, you know, similar to what Payne did, I guess. Well, he had to lay up. And anyway, point being, he hits driver and he gets in trouble. So what I want to know, what was your thoughts on him hitting driver there? And then the second one is, after he got in trouble, Bryson's on the 18th tee, and he doesn't hesitate to hit driver. Again, with his length, he could have hit an iron wedge up there on that green. So I'm just curious what your thoughts were on those two decisions off the tee on 18.
Well, I totally understand Bryson's, because now he's in the driver's seat again, and everything has fallen his way regarding the native area and that kind of thing. As far as Rory was concerned, I would have hit three wood wedge, and it would have been, but I think he was doing what Bryson did on the 17th hole. He was trying to take advantage of the situation and jump right in, hit a great shot, and then get the momentum back on his side. That's what Bryson did on 17, what Rory was not able to accomplish on the 18th hole. And Rory lives and dies by the driver. The guy is a phenomenal driver of the golf ball. Bryson lives and dies by the driver. You knew Bryson was going to hit driver no matter what. Okay. But Rory, you second guess the shot that he hit off the tee. Three wood probably would have been better, would have kept him back away from that junk. And like the guy said, he could have hit wedge in there, and at worst, he's going to make par.
But I like that you brought it back around to my original comment. Here I am lauding Bryson for the go take it shot on 17. Yep. And to your point, you got to have the courage to hit the go take it shot on 18. I just look back at some of the, you know, Phil Mickelson's a great example of a guy that just went for it every single time. And we look at what happened at his U.S. Open chances in 2006, specifically at Wingfoot on the 18th hole. He's hitting driver there. And we all, you know, that's all we could talk about is how could Bones not just take the driver and break it over his knee, you know, and Phil Mickelson probably is a U.S. Open champ, right? But Phil
or John Vandeveld too.
But Vandeveld was in over his head. That's a different
story. He was in over his head.
Phil Mickelson is, 45 win player, you know, and several major champion. Like, this is a guy that, you know, he made a living out of doing what he did. And so I guess you're right. They're going to live and die by those kinds of things. But, you know, now it comes down to it. Rory's chip shot, I thought it was going to be perfect. His approach, his pitch up the green. In fact, when he hit it, I'm like, go. I was saying go because I knew how steep that slope was. And I was surprised. I'm sure Rory obviously didn't mean to hit it there. It just wouldn't stop and got up above the hole. And then I was sunk for him. I'm like, oh no, that is not where you want to be to try to win or save or have an opportunity to win the U.S. Open. I mean, that was, again, back to your experience, what I watched you do, my eyes were like saucers when I saw your putt, you know, and this is not U.S. Open speed. I mean, it was kind of dead up there.
It was fast going down that hill. He hit it up there and I went, oh my, because now I know he's going to have to play it like 3 or 4 inches outside the hole and just barely touch it.
Breathe on it.
Or is he going to take the power line like left edge or just inside and just pound it?
No.
To knock it in.
He'd have finished fifth if he did that.
Exactly. You can't do that. You can't do that. So now you got to just try and bleed it down there and it's going to fall off to the right like you can't believe. I mean, that putt is crazy how it falls right. And unfortunately, did you see that meme this week of the hole like is...
Yeah,
like the
yeah,
hole.
That's not like, that's like about 4-5 feet wide. Yeah,
yeah, it was so sad, and it hits the lower edge of the hole and rolls out. Yeah, I was heartbroken. But where my heart was really hurt was when he missed the putt on 16. That putt on 16, amazing that he missed that. Took a little bit too much time over the ball, and he was feeling it, which I'm sorry for because. Rory would have been a great champion, but don't put it past it. And I don't mean this to slight Bryson. Bryson will be a phenomenal champion, and it was awesome to watch him do what he did to win that golf tournament.
Well, both of them hit. What was it? Bryson on 15 and yep. Rory on 16, I think, yep. If I'm remembering. They both had the power jam pressure putts. You kind of yep. jam them left because you're afraid yep. of – well, at least this is my experience, is you're sitting there and you're afraid that you're going to – let it leak a little bit, right? Because of the yep. pressure. And so you almost like make sure you don't let the soft right miss. So you jam yes. it left and they both did it. It's yep. it's a pressure thing. Think about that the next time you have one of those. All right, we got so much to talk about. The Bryson bunker shot. And where does that rank in major championship history? Shots to win a major. Wow, it's got to be right up there. We'll talk about it next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Thanks again for joining us. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, looking back at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And what a win by Bryson. We just left going into that break talking about that shot. I want to know what you were thinking, Bob, when he got up against that root and he was trying to figure out what to do. How many different scenarios, speaking of Bryson on 18 there, on his second shot, how many kinds of different things could have gone wrong in that scenario?
Oh, it could have a lot. I mean, he could have hit the root. He could have sculled the shot, flown it over the green, out of bounds. There's just a lot of stuff that could have happened. And there was all that wispy grass around the bunker. The ball could have nestled in some of that grass. Going in the bunker was actually the best place it could have gotten for him. And other than in the fairway, but as it turned out, it was the best place for him to be.
Okay, now that takes us to the bunker shot. Mm-hmm. When he hit it into the bunker,
yeah,
because remember when Rory scooted his out of there, the commentators were like, hey, you know, it's just fortunate that it scooted by that bunker because you wouldn't have wanted to have to hit it out of that bunker. You know, they were talking about the degree of difficulty. Well, wouldn't you know it, very next player right there into that bunker. So now I thought that was set up beautifully. And now you're thinking, this is going to be an epic playoff. This is going playoff for sure. I mean, this thing's going to come out probably high and soft, and it's probably going to hit and check a little bit or something. And he's going to have maybe 20 feet up the hill. That was my thought. I'm like, that's going to be a tough putt to make. He'll have a putt at it, but it's going to be unlikely. And he's going to tap it in, and we're going to a playoff. And this thing's going to be awesome, which I was hoping for because it was just, I didn't want it to be over. And then he steps up and just hits that shot. I don't know.
Four feet below the hole.
Talk me through that shot. First of all, I don't even know how to hit that shot. I don't know that most golfers could even hit that shot. That's the toughest shot to hit, is the long bunker shot.
Well, it's a long bunker shot. It's almost 50 yards. And you're hitting uphill, you're trying to clear the lip. And it's not just a standard bunker shot that everybody plays. Okay. Case in point, Johnson Wagner gets in there after dark and they're talking and everything. And Johnson says, well, I've got my 50 degree sand wedge. And what did Bryson say? That's perfect. Okay. So that club that shot could have been hit with a myriad of different clubs. The last club you want to hit that shot with is a lob wedge or a sand wedge.
See, and I probably would have taken my lob wedge, played it back, closed the face, and just tried to almost chip it, like catch all ball and just barely skim the sand and try to pick it out of there. That's because I don't know how to hit that shot.
And that's the shot with the biggest amount of error to the type of shot.
Sure.
The shot he hit was the absolute correct shot because it gives you a bigger margin of error. Okay. The chunk and run out of that bunker is the absolute shot. And you got to play it with
some less loft.
A 50 degree. It's got to be less loft. You hit the chunk and run, it's going to come out a little bit lower. And when it hits the green, it's going to roll. And that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly what you would have to do from that shot. Don't try to pick it. Don't try to spin it. Don't try to hit a normal bunker shot. You hit a normal bunker shot with less loft.
That's tough.
100% of the time.
I'll take a fairway bunker. I don't mind so much a fairway
bunker. I've hit him with 9 irons before.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
With a shot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitching wedge, 9 iron, sand wedge. Just depends on how far are you away from the green and that kind of thing. But his shot at 50 with a 50 degree, absolutely perfect.
But the thing you have to remember is those guys are not executing shots to win major championships that they haven't practiced.
Right. Right.
So he knew how
to. That's what Scotty Scheffler said earlier on in the week. He said, I do not hit a shot in competition that I have not practiced and that I do not know what the ball's going to do. 100%.
That's a good lesson for all of us because we hit shots every day that we've never practiced.
Exactly. Or try to hit a shot that you've never practiced.
That might be the key word. Try. And then probably try again because that's where you're going to be left with. So.
But he understood the shot. He understood the physics of the shot, of course, the mad scientist. He understood everything he needed to do to try to get the best outcome.
Okay. Worst
case scenario, he's going to have a 15 or 20 footer up the hill.
Yeah.
Just like Payne did. But his shot came out perfect, hit just over the top of the crown, and bounced and rolled right up 4 feet below the hole.
I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable.
Yep. Unbelievable.
All right. So last thing before we move on, unpacking. Now, Pavone is just inside of him.
Yes.
And he marks, and people were kind of giving him a bad time. He had to do that, right? You can't put normally in that situation, the guy that's not, Pavone was not even in it at this point. Pavone would have knocked it in and cleared the way, but that would have essentially given Bryson the line
exactly.
for the winning putt. You can't do that, right? I thought that was pretty headsy of Pavone to not do that, and not in a gamesmanship or negative or any kind of evil way by any stretch. But that was in the equity of the competition.
Yeah,
he had to mark that and leave it, right?
Yeah, and you know that. The normal thing that guys do on tour is if you're inside by a foot or whatever, you put it in first and then leave everything to the player that has the chance to win. He didn't. He went up and marked it. And he went up to Bryson afterwards and he said, I'm sorry that I marked that. He goes, no. He said, that's exactly what you should have done because it would have given me the lie and that wouldn't have been fair to Rory.
That's right. That's right. That's what I was thinking.
100% absolutely did exactly what he needed to do.
Now, the consequence of that was he had to watch Bryson's crazy celebration and then still go up and make the putt because it still meant something to him. I mean, there's still money. There's still points. There's still all the stuff to go with it, right? But
yeah, anyway, he was solo fifth, and if he would have missed that putt, it would have cost him another $50,000. Plus, he was also thinking, Pavone was also thinking about, well, does this get me into all of next year's majors and that kind of thing by finishing fifth? And so he was going through the scenarios in his head, and he wanted to make sure because that putt meant a lot to him. It meant it was important to him. Now, when he marked it, everybody in the crowd started booing. Yeah. Well, Bryson calmed them all down and told them to stop.
He was the orchestrator kind of out there, man. He was the maestro.
And he was right in his element on that green, on the 18th green. It was pretty good. But yeah, props to Pavone and props to Bryson saying you did the exact right thing.
Then the celebration and then, you know, everything that goes along with Bryson and the crowd and him, you know, running that the U.S. Open trophy around to everybody, stopping in on the live from afterwards with Johnson, as you just talked about.
And
after he hit the shot, handed him the trophy. What a moment that was in television. and then, the next day he's in New York. He's running up in the Fallon show. He's on the morning show. Like, he's doing all the stuff. What do you think of Bryson now? Like, I started off the show mentioning that I was critical of Bryson over the years and I didn't really like his antics.
Me too.
I was eating it up. I think that's just exactly what golf needs right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what he showed us was that he's changed, like we've talked about. But I also think he's excited a lot of people about the game, the younger generation. He's not playing that big, bulky, behemoth, hit it as far as you can and you know, the bash and gouge. He's playing what he's calling boring golf. He's matured as a player, and he's understanding it better to be able to be in contention and compete.
Golf needs a showman. The showman needs an audience.
Yep.
The showman, and this is Liv doesn't give them the audience. John Rahm has mentioned this. They're not getting fulfilled out there from the attention. You could see Bryson absolutely ate it up.
Yes.
Golf needs a showman. The showman needs an audience. That's why hopefully this PIF deal and the PGA can get together so we can bring these people back. And we can be under one golf happy family again, I guess you'll say. So
I agree.
Hey, coming up next, let's see what Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel thought about the U.S. Open. He was on site, and we'll get more on that PIF PGA. See where it's at next here on Real Golf Radio.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
What seems to be the problem?
Doctor, thank goodness. My husband found out Cricket Wireless has 5G plans starting at $15 a month, and his jaw just dropped.
Oh. Did he hear about Cricket's blazing fast 5G?
Yep.
Uh-huh. What about their reliable nationwide coverage?
Yes, that too.
Uh-huh. I see. Unfortunately, there's no cure.
Aww.
But you will have really fast 5G.
Get jaw-droppingly fast 5G for $15 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Video may be limited to SD. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. Subject to change. See store for details.
Office Depot Office Max is setting students up for a successful 2024-2025 school year earlier than ever with its expanded collection of college dorm and school supplies. Thanks to a new partnership with Dormify, college students can shop an array of new furniture and decor fit for small spaces. From stylish bedding and charging headboards to clever storage solutions, the college collection includes essential supplies students need to be dorm ready. Plus, Office Depot Office Max has backpacks, planners, laptops, and more. Shop in almost 200 stores and online at officedepot.com and take advantage of free 20-minute in-store and curbside pickup or same-day delivery on qualifying orders placed before 5 p.m. local time for just $4.99. Now through June 24th, Office Depot is giving 10 people a chance to win a dorm makeover and try the new collection. Enter for your chance to win a $500 Office Depot Office Max merchandise card to put toward a fully outfitted dorm. Visit officedepot.com/giveaways to enter. No purchase necessary. Ends June 24th, 2024. Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max.
To beat the best, or to beat your best, it takes a standard most aren't used to. Like perfecting our seamless aero design for ultra-consistent flight, innovating new processes to create a hyper-fast soft core, using advanced materials to make a ball feel like nothing before. When your standards for performance are high, play the ball that sets them even higher. Introducing Chrome Tour, the new gold standard.
Hi, this is Brian Taylor for my friends at Hoops Vision. As with any health procedure, you want to make sure you're going to get the best care with the best science, technology, and experience, especially when it comes to your eyes. I went through the decision-making process about getting LASIK surgery 13 years ago. I was tired of contacts and glasses, but I worried about having surgery. I went to Hoops Vision, and they walked me through a free consultation that put all my worries to bed. I appreciated the professional manner in which they interacted with me. I felt confident in their vast experience and the fact that they had the best technology. And I knew that if the best golfers in the state trusted their eyes to Hoops, so could I. 13 years later, it was still the best decision I ever made. I personally recommend Hoops Vision and want you to have the same great experience I did. Sign up for your free consultation at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's Hoops Vision and hoopsvision.com.
Now,
Back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. And looking back at last week's epic U.S. Open finish, Rex Hoggard was on site and covering it all week long there at Pinehurst, as he is for all the major events and major news happenings in the world of golf. Rex joins us right now. Rex, what's happening, man?
Morning. Busy week. Still trying to process. That was fun to watch.
So it seems that everywhere I've gone, people just say, how about that finish? I don't remember a more exciting finish. Now, we all have recency bias. There's certainly plenty of great major finishes over the years, but this one delivered. I mean, it was something that just really seemed to captivate people. It held people's attention, even maybe not not just the hardcore golf fans.
I think so, because you had everything in place. We can all agree, like, Pinehurst number two, every time we see it, it just gets more and more special. So you had the venue, you know, you had the backdrop, you had the cathedral, or whatever it is you want to call it. It was playing, got to give the USGA a ton of credit. They could have let that golf course get away from them, and they did not. It played fair and firm and fast all week long. And then you had pretty much the two leading men you would ask for at this point in time. Right? We know what's going on outside the game, but then you put these two inside the ropes, and they both perform. Now, look, we could sit and pick apart Rory McIlroy's finish, and certainly there was a lot to pick apart there, but it was enjoyable because of the quality of golf, because of the background, because of the subtext to the story. It had every element. If you were making a movie, that would be the movie you'd want to make.
So what did you think about that final shot by Bryson out of the bunker from 55 yards? That's got to be one of the toughest, and a lot of guys, the pros and everybody, say that that's the hardest shot in golf, and he was able to get it up and down from that bunker.
I don't know. My colleague Johnson Wagner seemed to be able to pull it off pretty far. Pretty
there
good.
It is. I was waiting for that.
that was really good, actually.
It was the second shot. The second golfer is always better than the first golfer. We all know that. He was under a lot of pressure. I don't think I've ever heard Johnson's voice crack so much on TV. And look, he's just brilliant. I love watching everything Johnson does on TV. A 50-degree wedge from, what was it, 38, 40 yards, something like that. You're right, from that lie, going to where he was going. Just an impossible shot. Johnson did it. Just on camera, with nothing on the line. There was not a U.S. Open trophy on the line. Bryson did it with a U.S. trophy on U.S. Open trophy on the line, and that's just amazing to me. And look, it was an unbelievable performance on a really, really difficult golf course, and nothing about that final hole was easy. And again, it's exactly what you want. You don't want to see. I don't want to see a guy split the fairway, hit the green, two putts for par. Like, that to me would have been enjoyable. Like, I would have applauded. Still, you still won the U.S. Open, but this had the drama.
I mean, not everybody can four-putt the final hole to win the Masters. I mean, there's got to be additional drama, right?
Not everyone has that luxury. No, I'm sure Bryson would have loved that luxury, to be honest with you. But no, not everyone has that luxury. And I don't know. I just keep going back to the idea that so many things could have gone wrong for both players coming down the stretch. And the idea that it came down to essentially two putts inside 4 or 5 feet for Rory McIlroy. It's just amazing.
So let's talk about Rory a little bit. You know, I've been around and seen a lot of this and play golf myself. And so you just know, it's just harder than it is. Now the pros are on a different level. They handle the situation more frequently. They're in the situation more frequently. And with that comes experience, but also with that comes the scars. And, you know, it was clearly pressure manifested. I kept thinking, what would Johnny Miller be saying during this final few holes right now? You know, but it was pressure. It was a lot of history with Rory and the challenges that he's had over the last 10 years of trying to pick up that next major championship. So, you know, I don't really want to get granular and like pick it apart, but it's fascinating. And I think that's what holds the audience, is to see how guys at the highest level can handle those moments. Huh? And what was your take on Rory? And then how do you think this affects him going forward?
Oh, God, Johnny would be brutal. I can only imagine when you said that. It's kind of going through my mind what he would have said. I think it speaks to how difficult these are to win. And I think sometimes, especially those of us who sort of experienced the entire Tiger Woods era, and they weren't easy. They were never easy to win. He just made it look easy. And I think when a player of Rory's caliber, multi-time major winner, world number one, all the things he's accomplished in his career, you think, although this is just, he's going to get it done. There's no two ways about it. And I remember it was a line that Butch Wyman gave me years ago when Ricky Fowler was trying to win the Open Championship and he had a piece of the lead going into the final round. I believe it was St. George's. And I was on the side of, oh, this is Ricky's time. He's going to get it done. And even Butch, who teaches Ricky, turned to me and he goes, he doesn't until he actually does it. And I think that's an indication of a guy that's seen it for a very, really long time that knows anything can happen, even to the best players in the world. I think I'm going to get this right. Rory McIlroy was 496 for 496 when it came to putts inside 3 feet this year on the PGA Tour, except for that one time.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's insane.
A crazy stat.
You think about like NBA players shooting free throws. They're not. Nobody has that kind of percentage.
And again, it speaks to the situation. We put Rory in that situation 496 times, and he's going to make that putt 496 out of 496, except for the one time when he knows he had a two-stroke lead with five holes to play. I'm not quite sure. You talked about being a four-putt the last hole. The next best thing would be Rory McIlroy on that golf course, which was a ball-strike golf course with a two-shot lead with five holes to play. You couldn't have put him in a better position. If you'd have told him on Monday of the championship that, look, let's just fast forward to the 12th hole. And let's just play it out from there. He would have take that. He'd take it every single time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's interesting. I talked to my dad a lot about feeling the pressure going down the stretch, trying to win a golf tournament, let alone a major championship. And he said, when you start to feel it is when it starts to matter to you. And I think that was the important part of what Rory was feeling. He hadn't done it in 10 years. This one really mattered to him. You know, he finished second last year at LACC to Wyndham Clark, but this one really mattered to him, and he got himself in a position where he was leading, like you said, by two shots with five holes to play. Yeah, he made a bogey on 15, but he had that short putt on 16 and again another one on 18. Unfortunately missed both of those, but this one mattered to him. And that's, I think on 16 is when he really started to feel the pressure behind all of it.
He was so tense. I was walking along with the final group, kind of standing across the 17th hole and watching what was going on. And you could feel the pressure just in the gallery. I mean, it was palpable, and it's amazing to be in that situation. This goes back to last year. I was doing a story towards the end of the year on Lucas Glover. And we all know the way he finished last season and how he overcame the yips. And I don't know what the rules are in you guys' show about saying it. Some shows don't even
freaks me out. It freaks me out, Rex.
Yeah. it gives people the willies. I understand what you're saying. But the guy he was working with was a former Navy SEAL. And having the former Navy SEAL walk me through the idea of this is what happens in a pressure situation. And if you're a Navy SEAL, the pressure situation is you're getting shot at. Someone's trying to kill you. And it's all the things the Navy SEALs do to train to make sure that in that situation – you're given the best possible chance to survive. And it's using your big muscles and understanding how your body's going to react to that type of stress. It's really no different. And I hate comparing it because I know what some people are going to roll their eyes. But the stress, the pressure, everything that goes along with it, it's the same thing. I know that Rory's fingers were tingling. I know that he was probably a little bit lightheaded in that situation because that's how it manifests itself when you have pressure at that level.
It's unreal. Let me just ask you one thing. I have more questions, but around the pressure, did it surprise you that neither Rory nor Bryson chose to hit a different club other than driver on 18?
I mean, no, because both of them are going to live and die with that club. I mean, I guess you could have, if I'm Harry Diamond, the idea would have been maybe go with something else. But I think if you're Rory McIlroy, I'm going to go with the club that means the most to me. Mm. And we all know that Rory plays his best when he's driving the golf ball like we know he can. He can be a dominant player. And there is a universe. There's a scenario where he stands on that tee and hits an absolutely perfect drive and has maybe half a wedge in. And suddenly we're having a much different conversation where it didn't take a lot to get offline. And look, both of them did it. And actually, I mean, a degree of difficulty. Bryson's shot was much harder into that green. I'm talking about his approach shot, his second shot, than Rory's. But one of those guys executed and the other didn't.
The other question I was going to ask you, sorry, Bob, is the shot he hit into five that looked like it was going to roll up for an eagle putt, then it, you know, caromed off and then got a terrible break down there. That seems to be the one thing some people go, I would never want to play Pinehurst number two. That shot Rory hit on five. And I was like, I personally thought, to your opening statement, that the USGA set the golf course up pretty good. That kind of stuff happens, but I don't think that cost him. People will argue, well, it did cost him, but what was your thought on that shot? And in that case, was Pinehurst too unfair, or was that just the result of trying to go for that green in two and just missing it?
I always let sort of the players be the guide when it comes to golf course setup. And we all know that players are not shy when it comes to giving their opinion when it comes to golf courses and golf course setup. And I don't know, you guys were there. I talked to a lot of players the week of the U.S. Open. I didn't hear one complaint about the golf course. I think Colin Morikawa may have said something earlier in the week about the consistency of the sand, but the actual setup of the golf course, yeah. I think most applauded, because you can look at that golf course on a random, you know, whatever day today is, Tuesday, and you can say, all right, if I go out and play this golf course, I'm going to get the bounce that you're talking about with Rory McIlroy, because that's how that golf course plays. It's always kind of on the razor's edge. I think the scary part for players was suddenly you have the USGA involved, and we've seen in the past how they let golf courses fall over the edge and they do become unplayable and unfair. That didn't happen this time. Again, this is a testament to John Bodenhammer and his team and everybody at the USGA for deciding. I did the early show and the late show that week, which meant I was standing next to the 18th green when the sun came up, and I was standing next to the 18th green when the sun went down. And I've never seen crews work so hard, watering, rolling, cutting, everything else, to make sure that green was perfect. And they did it for all 18 holes.
So Rory got kind of beat up with the media after his round, not doing any interviews or post-round, not congratulating Bryson, but he came out with some comments. Your thoughts about Rory with that?
I'm not under the mindset, and look, I've talked a lot with kind of some friends of mine, some other golf writers about this. I'm not under the mindset that he had to stop and talk. I'm never under the mindset for any player. And I know that sounds counterintuitive to being a journalist. I wrote Rory that night. I was writing sort of the emotions of the moment. I needed him to talk to make that story work. However, I understand there's also emotions involved here. So I understand why he didn't have any interest in that. My concern here is that it's become more and more often when it comes to Rory and other top players to decide that, no, I'm not going to do this. And I thought Scott Van Pelt, ESPN on SportsCenter that night, did a great job of saying that, look, Rory, of course, has the right not to talk with the media. No one has to talk to the media. But if you look back historically, Phil Mickelson spoke with us at Wingfoot when he melted down. And, of course, that the famous line, what an idiot I am. Greg Norman spoke with the media after he melted down at the Masters. Vandeveld at the Open Championship. I can keep going down the list. Like, others have done this. Others who don't owe anything to the game and just as easily could have walked away, but they decided to sit and take sort of the music, so to speak, to stand in front of the cameras and answer the very, very difficult question. I go back to the idea, and look, this is going to be an ongoing conversation going forward, that the players are now equity partners in the PGA Tour, that the players are now owners, and it's up to them to make the product as good as it can possibly be. This is an example of a player not understanding that.
That's a great comment. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So the recreation of Bryson DeChambeau. Look, this is a guy, and I've been pretty, you know, open on the show about it. I'm not a huge Bryson fan. I didn't like his antics, didn't like his Masters comment about his Bryson par. I didn't like a lot of the ways he went about it, you know, the scientist thing, and it didn't appeal to me all that much. But I know that a lot of people, that it did. However, I've given Bryson some mad props over this last couple of weeks, from the PGA Championship into the U.S. Open, and the way he conducted himself and the efforts he put forth with the fans to engage and interact, and the show that he put on was incredible. So I'm just curious your thoughts on this sort of, it feels to me like a little bit of a recreation of Bryson DeChambeau.
I went to the Travelers Championship for a couple of days after the U.S. Open and was doing some work and was on the range and talking with a lot of people, players, caddies, equipment refs, people who know Bryson and knew Bryson before he went to live golf. And I keep coming back to the idea that earlier in my career, covering Phil Mickelson, I would always be asked, is he genuine? Like, is the guy that sits and signs autographs for hours, and it didn't matter if he shot 78 or 68, is that genuine? Is that really who he is? And I sort of wrestled with it a little bit early in my career, and then I came to the conclusion I didn't care. It was good for the game. Like, maybe it's genuine, maybe it's not. I don't pretend to know what's inside a man's heart. I'll say the same thing about Bryson right now. Maybe it isn't. It seems a little performative to me, the way he sort of, I don't know, ran around and did the victory lap at Wingfoot. Certainly he made at Pinehurst, the way he went to New York City and did all the media. Again, nothing against it. I think it's really, really good for the game. So I don't care if it's genuine or not. As far as him being more mature, that's clearly obvious. As far as going back 3 years to right before he joined LIV Golf, we all know what the landscape was like. He and Brooks had some sort of weird bro beef going on. The fans had kind of turned on him. There was a slow play thing. There was a lot of rulings that came into effect. And I saw the impact it had on him. It had a very, very negative impact. Bryson wants to be liked. He wants to be loved. He misses the limelight. He misses the spotlight. So if you put him back in that arena, which is what happened at Valhalla and then at Pinehurst, I think you see the best of Bryson come out. And that's not to say that maybe something happens in the future and we get to decide that maybe you don't appreciate anymore. But I don't know if that's bad either, because I think emotion is a big part of the game.
That's a great segue into where are we? What have you heard, if anything, in the few minutes we have left with you on this PGA PIF agreement?
Well, the policy board met last week at the Travelers Championship. It was about a five-hour meeting in Hartford, downtown at the Travelers headquarters. The commissioner spoke the next day to the media, and he didn't have any details. I didn't expect him to. He sent a memo to players that night, Tuesday night, sort of outlining some of the changes and what there was some procedural stuff that happened that the policy board voted on when it comes to the signature events. But as far as your question, the public investment fund, the investment, where we are going forward, I think there has been progress. And I know that's the word everyone's tired of hearing, and everyone rolls their eyes when you hear it. And I'll go back to the meeting in New York City just a few weeks ago between the player directors and representatives from the PIF, including the governor, Yasir Al-Rumayyan. I like the idea that during that meeting, they found the common ground. Like, all right, let's stick a pin in all the things that we can agree on, and then let's find the things we can't, and let's try to drill down into those. And by all accounts, the things they can't are pretty, I mean, you and I can kind of go through them. It's how you incorporate team golf into whatever this product's going to look like. What does the pathway back to the players who join LIV Golf look like, who want to come back to the PGA Tour? And I'm not quite sure how many actually do want to come back to the PGA Tour. What will the leadership structure look like if there is an agreement with PIF? So there are some points that need to get hammered out. I am of the mindset, and I continue to go down this road, that there will be a deal, and that right now there has to be a deal. It's best for the game of golf.
Well, we stand ready and waiting for more information on that. That it's a little overdue. We're past June 6th, over a year now. So hopefully we'll hear something sooner than later. Rex, thanks so much for your time, man. Have a great weekend. Always good to visit with you, and it was great to see you in Pinehurst last week.
Great seeing you guys.
Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, golfchannel.com. Check him out. He does a great job. Does his own podcast with Ryan Lavner as well. They do a fantastic job. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, joining us here on Real Golf Radio.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Sports Byline USA News from the interns. I'm Alex Dorfler.
And I'm Ben Murphy. Friday, the Florida Panthers traveled to Edmonton to take on the Oilers in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The last time a team came back from a 3-0 deficit in the Stanley Cup was the 1942 Toronto Maple Leafs, who defeated the Detroit Red Wings.
The best of three College World Series championship between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Texas A&M Aggies will start Saturday. They will play Saturday, Sunday, and Monday if necessary. This will be the first championship appearance for the Aggies in their program history. The Volunteers have one appearance in the College World Series championship and finished as runners-up in 1951, 73 years ago. Tennessee won the only matchup between the two teams this season, winning an SEC tournament game in May 7-4. This will be the third straight season that two SEC schools will play each other for the national championship, guaranteeing that this will be the fifth year in a row that an SEC school will be champs.
Progressive presents Flo and Jamie announcing a monster truck rally.
And here comes the obliterator.
Whoa, and he's up on two wheels. That can't be safe.
Oh, I don't recommend flipping your car backwards.
Did he even check his blind spot?
And the car's on fire.
I definitely don't recommend that.
This is one of my recurring nightmares.
Progressive is all about keeping it safe, so bundle your home and auto for 24/7 protection. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Coverage not provided for monster trucks. Not available in all states.
J.J. Redick has been named the L.A. Lakers' new head coach, agreeing to a four-year deal. Redick played in the NBA for 17 years and retired after the 2021 season. He has also worked as an analyst for ESPN. Los Angeles Sparks announced Wednesday that rookie star Cameron Brink suffered a torn left ACL after exiting their game Tuesday against the Connecticut Sun. Brink was the second overall pick out of Stanford. Brink was on the 2021 Cardinal National Championship team and had been prepared to represent Team USA at the Paris Olympics as a part of the 3-on-3 team.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and Clear Skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risen Kizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Looking at the NFL offseason, many teams have made moves, and others still need to pay their star players. CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Brandon Ayuk are all seeking new deals and are currently holding out of OTAs. Teams are working with the players to get these deals done as fast as possible so no time is missed during the season. Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings star wide receiver, recently received a new deal, signing a 4-year, $140 million contract extension, the most money ever given to a wide receiver. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence just signed a 5-year, $275 million contract extension, making him and Joe Burrow tied for the highest annual salary per year at $55 million.
As of June 20th, the MLB MVP odds favorite for the American League is Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is leading the MLB with 26 home runs, has the most extra base hits with 49, and has the highest slugging average and on-base plus slugging percentage. The National League MVP odd favorite is Shohei Ohtani. Although he can't pitch, he definitely can still hit. The Cy Young favorite for the American League is the Tigers ace Tarek Skubal with an 8-3 record and a 2.05 ERA. The National League odds favorite is Zach Wheeler with an 8-4 record and a 2.84 ERA. Have a good weekend and stay classy.
This is Sports Byline USA Intern News.
I'm Alex Dorfler.
And I'm Ben Murphy.
Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for Innovative Wellness Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, Innovative Wellness Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. Innovative Wellness Center. At 515-355-3200.
Well, we have 9 more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the 10th tee?
On to the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
2 players down the middle on the 10th hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Thank you very much, and welcome into the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio. It's a good soundtrack for Pinehurst. Kind of got that fun sort of Pinehurst kind swing to it.
Yep. And it all happened on the back nine last week.
Oh, man. Got a little bit of everything, didn't we? And you know what? Yep. We haven't even talked about our man, Tony Finau.
Oh, boy.
Sunday 67. Wow. How good was Finau? You know, missed that first putt on the first hole, and I don't even know how that didn't go in. It went all the way around the hole. Such a good putt. Yep. And then he gets the 2 early bogeys and then plays 4-under golf from there. I mean, wow.
Yeah, he got those 2 early bogeys and came right back with an eagle. And that got him back to even par. And then what, he shot 3-under par on the back nine?
Yeah.
Amazing golf.
Yeah.
Amazing golf.
Yeah, so good. Might that do for Tony, having that great finish and the confidence he can take out of it? And the putt on 18 that he made was ridiculous. Oh,
that was sick.
That would have been an all-timer if that was to win.
Yeah.
And I said then, while I was watching, if Tony could have somehow posted 5. I mean, Rory and Bryson were both feeling the pressure. It kind of gone down to a 2-man game. But if Tony could have posted 5, you know, you wonder how that might have changed some things or ramped up the pressure just a little bit.
Right.
Now, obviously, Rory came back to 5. What would Bryson have done? You never know. Maybe it doesn't change the outcome at all. But, man, I'd love to have seen him get just to see what might have happened. But great playing by T. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, his tie for best finish ever in a major championship and best finish ever in the U.S. Open. Tied for third with Patrick Cantlay at 4-under par.
Yep, really, really good stuff. Hey, how about this? Coming up on 4th of July, you know, here in another week, or I guess. What are we, 2 weeks from, I guess, this weekend? A little less than that now, 10 days. An American has won each of the last 6 major championships dating back to 2023 at the PGA. Ooh. Kepka, Clark, Harmon, Scheffler, Schauffele, and DeChambeau. How about that? Mm. All 6 different players, all 6 Americans. And that kind of leads into your comment there at the top of the hour, Bob, about the U.S. Olympic team, which is going to be represented by
Scotty Scheffler, who's number 1 in the world, Xander Schauffele, who's number 3, Wyndham Clark, last year's U.S. Open champion at number 5, and Colin Morikawa at number 7.
The U.S. Open champion does not represent the U.S. Olympic team.
Last year's did.
Well, that's an interesting one. Hey, we'll talk about it next. We're just getting started here on the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio.
Have you noticed the hype around retinol lately? It's all over my social media. But did you know you can get retinol in a body wash? Amazing, right? Olay Retinol Body Wash is packed
with moisturizing vitamin B3 complex plus retinol to transform dry skin to visibly renewed in just 14 days. Try it the next time you shower and see the difference for yourself with Olay Retinol Body Wash for visibly renewed skin in just 14 days. And try Olay Retinol 24 Body Lotion.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select a new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or going to the grocery store for milk instead of buying your own cow. You know there's an easier and better way. Save up to 25% when you bundle home and auto with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
No one knows the importance of a great assist more than Lowe's and Leo Messi. That's why we've teamed up to give My Lowe's Rewards members 10 times the points when Messi makes an assist during CONMEBOL Copa America USA 2024. Activate this offer starting June 20th, so when Messi assists, you score. Shop the day after an assist to earn those extra points. Not a My Lowe's Rewards member? Join for free today.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill. Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
This segment is brought to you by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Check out blackdesertresort.com for all of the details on how to book a tee time on the Tom Weiskopf Championship Design Golf Course, exclusive real estate opportunities, some of the designs and development that is going to be continuing to take place over the next several years. Check it out, blackdesertresort.com. This place is unlike anything you've experienced before. It's got a full water park, pickleball facility, shops and dining, spa, 25,000 square feet of convention space. It is, of course, the golf course there. It is phenomenal. The whole golf village area with the practice facility and 36-hole putting course and Club 73, which is open now. It's just a cool vibe, cool hangout right at the base of Snow Canyon in southern Utah. It is beauty and golf unlike you've experienced. You got to check it out. BlackDesertResort.com. And thanks again for joining us here on the show, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. I'll tell you what, I want to talk about this Bryson shot to finish. But before we do that, we were talking about Olympics. So let's kind of go through, again, the American team that we just went through, but then you've got also the rest of the notables that'll be representing, huh?
Yeah, so there's 60 players in the world that can qualify. And to qualify, each country gets two. But if you want more, they'll go up to four if you're in the top 15 in the world rankings. So, as I said, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, and Colin Morikawa. Those guys were all in the top 15, so the United States get four players. Ireland has two, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Sweden has two, Ludvig Åberg and Alex Noren. Norway has two, Victor Hovland, Chris Ventura. Spain, John Rahm and David Puig. Japan, Hideki Matsuyama and Keita Nakajima. Great Britain, Tommy Fleetwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick. That's a good group. France has Matthew Pavone and Victor Perez, also good players. Austria only has one. That's Sepp Straka. Australia, Jason Day and Minwoon Lee. That's a good group as well. South Korea, Tom Kim and Ben Ahn. Canada, Nick Taylor and Corey Connors. Those guys just made it in last week because of their play at the U.S. Open. Christian Bezuidenhout and Eric Van Rooyen from South Africa. Germany has Steven Jaeger and Maddie Schmidt. Let me see if there's any other. Nikolai Højgaard and Thorbjørn Olesen from Denmark. Thomas Dietrich, who played well last week. He's in with Belgium. Argentina has Emiliano Garrido. New Zealand has Ryan Fox. I'm just going over the guys that we know. Chile has Joaquin Niemann. Let me see. Any others? CT Pan for Chinese Taipei. Any others? No, the rest of them are not. Camila Bejegas is playing in the Olympics, which is good for Colombia. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch these guys play and see how they all come out.
You know what? I actually really enjoyed listening to you rattle the countries and the names, and it's kind of cool. You know, I mean, everybody's a big melting pot, you know, in professional golf for the most part. But, you know, this is the chance to go for country, and we see it. You know, we see it in the United States for Ryder Cup and President's Cup, you know, on an annual basis. But the opponents aren't representing one particular country. They're also a melting pot. And so now you've got everybody kind of compartmentalized into their own home country. And it's pretty neat. I think it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
And it's a straight 72-hole event. It would be interesting to see if they can put a team aspect into it a little bit. But straight 72 holes for the men's and the women's side. The women's side will have that final members on the teams coming up here probably in the next week or two.
All right. And we mentioned also at the top of the hour, we talked about Sahali hosting the LPGA.
Oh, my.
And how tough that is. And I'll tell you what, the PGA championship. How about a good start, huh? How about Lexi Thompson and Nelly Korda right there at the top of the leaderboard to start this one off? This is going to be fun. Excited to see where this one ends up this weekend. And, you know, Lexi announces her retirement and kind of freed her up a little bit. And, she, you know, who knows? We'll see what she ends up doing.
Heartbreaker last week. She lost in a playoff. So, bummer. But she'll come along.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
So, I just got to ask. You don't have a problem with Bryson DeChambeau not being on the U.S. Olympic team.
Do I have a problem with it?
That he's not on there.
Yeah. That he's not on there?
Yeah.
No, I don't have a problem with it.
Why?
Because he didn't qualify under the qualifying criteria.
Okay. That's the world rankings, though, right? I mean, don't you think a U.S. Open, reigning U.S. American, American winning the U.S. Open doesn't get some sort of exemption in there?
Well, then you would have to take every U.S. Open champion between the 4 years, and then it wouldn't matter as far as the best players in the world playing.
That does complicate it a little bit, but I kind of, I did.
But.
Well, look, I was one that I think is, I don't follow women's basketball all that much, but you can't not follow Caitlin Clark. And when she doesn't make the Olympic team, I'm kind of with Stephen A. on that one. I think they missed an opportunity. And I think U.S. golf's probably missing an opportunity. Golf in general is probably missing an opportunity not having Bryson on that Olympic team. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Okay, so they need to make a new rule, kind of like they did in the Ryder Cup. The guy who's playing the hottest at the time to be able to play. So Bryson said, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that I'm not on the team, but I totally understand it because it was based off the decision that I made a couple of years ago. So,
well, that's a pretty mature response.
It was, and it was a great response. And I thought it hit it spot on. Okay. He finished second in the PGA Championship. He finished first in the US Open Championship. And now he is 10th in the world right now. Okay. Which is just a couple spots outside the top four for the U.S. team, which the last place was number 7. which was Colin Morikawa. Patrick Cantlay didn't make it. He was at number 8. Bryson DeChambeau didn't make it because he was at number 10.
All right. Well, just be matter of fact about it, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Look, that's me.
I'm not jumping on here to be a cheerleader for Bryson. I just appreciate what he did, and he's super, you know, popular amongst golf fans right now. And yeah. His win was impressive. He's obviously playing good golf. I think people would have tuned in to want to see Bryson at the Olympics. Yeah. So
yeah, when you look at the guys for the US team, it's stacked, baby. All four of those guys are playing some good golf. Wyndham has tapered off during the middle of the year, but he's starting to play better. He made the cut last week and is playing well this week as well at the Travelers. So you got to like where the U.S. team is. Would Bryson bet a great addition? Of course, but Bryson didn't qualify into the criteria, like trying to get into the Masters or anything else.
Mm. Yeah. All right. There you go. Hey, one of the things we're going to talk about coming up here is Bryson's shot to win. We're going to look back at some of the best major finishes in history and in recent history. And where does this one stack up? I've got like three or four Masters, three or four PGAs, three or four U.S. Opens and Open Championships that come to mind. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on where does this one rank? I think this one's an all-timer, Bob. I think the way it finished, the drama of it all, Rory trying to do what he was trying to do, Bryson, you know, overcoming, you know, a short missed putt, things like that. I think it's an all-timer. So we'll talk about it. We're going to do it next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high-quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Talking Golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Hi, you're listening to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, son of two-time U.S. Open champion Billy Casper. Bob, your dad won at Wingfoot. Bryson won at Wingfoot. Two completely different style of players winning on the same golf course. I'll tell you that.
Right.
And then, of course, your dad adding his second at Olympic Club, Bryson getting his at Pinehurst. Those are, all of those ones mentioned are cathedrals of the game, as John Bodenhammer likes to talk about. And so it does
talk
mean
about
something.
Coming from behind with Bryson and Rory.
Yeah.
Rory had a 2-shot lead. Coming from behind, he made 3 bogeys coming in. Okay. My dad, Arnold Palmer, 7 shots behind with 9 holes to play, and my dad tied him, and then it went to an 18-hole playoff. So if you're going to talk about the U.S. Open and an exciting finish, that's probably a good one, too.
That's a really good one. There's no question. Bryson, by the way, shot 71. He's the first player to win the U.S. Open despite shooting over par in the final round. The last over par final round by a winner was in 2010 when Graham McDowell shot 74, plus 3. At Pebble Beach. And remember, that was Bryson or Dustin Johnson. Man, that was tough to watch.
That was a giveaway.
That was tough. DJ was, that was a struggle. The pressure of winning a major championship. What does that do to people?
And
he
was trying to win his first at that time.
That's right. Bryson also becomes the fourth player to win multiple major championships since the start of this decade in 2020. He joins Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, and Scottie Scheffler, who each have a pair of major championships. So, that's pretty good company, right? And this is interesting, too. The last time that the top 2 finishers at a U.S. Open were former winners of the championship was in 98 at the Olympic Club. Lee Jansen finished 1 stroke better than Payne Stewart. And it's happened 7 previous times. Jerry Pate, Hal Irwin by 2 over Jerry Pate and Gary Player. Lee Trevino over Nicholas in a playoff in 71. Nicholas over Palmer in 67. Your dad, Billy Casper, 1966 over Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
1963, Julius Burros got one over in a playoff on Arnold Palmer. 2 times in a playoff, man, 66 and 63. But then how about this? In 56, it was Kerry Middlecoff by 1 over Hogan and Julius Burros. So Burros lost in a playoff in 56, came back and beat Palmer in a playoff in 63. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. And Ben Hogan lost in a playoff in 56, but he beat Lloyd Mangrum in a playoff in 1950 at Marion. Of course, the one iron shot at Marion, that famous, that was pretty stellar stuff. So yeah, some pretty neat company right there. Amongst what kind of the setting, you will, the characters that were there in contention, which is really cool. So
yeah, and Rory McIlroy becomes the 5th player to finish 2nd in a U.S. Open in back to back years. He joins Bobby Jones, Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, and Jim Furyk.
Oh. That's a nice
Arnold
group.
Palmer did it twice. Runner up.
62, 63, 66, 67.
There you go.
Wow.
Got it.
Wow.
And you know, another great stat is Xander Schauffele. He finished tied for 7th, snuck up into a tie for 7th, and he has an 8-year streak going now of top 15 finishes in a row. He's going to win one.
You know, again, you got to put yourself there, and he's putting himself there. So, yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. I like it. Let's talk about this. So we just mentioned some great, close events. Yeah. Your dad beating Arnold at Olympic, all that kind of stuff. When you look at the dramatic fashion in which Bryson won with the bunker shot and all that, and Rory missing that putt, I mean, it was thrilling. So what are some other ones that come to mind when you think of most exciting major championships? Let's try to compartmentalize it down to each one. Let's start with the Masters. Okay. When you think Masters, exciting Masters finishes, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Nicholas in 86, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, against Norman in 86. Yeah.
I know you're sitting there going, Billy Casper, 1970. I get it. That's fair. But most people are going to be a Jack Nicklaus in 1986.
Another one was Faldo also against Norman when Norman had a 5-shot lead.
That was riveting.
That was another one.
That was riveting because you just didn't think he could collapse again.
Yeah.
2004, people have often asked me of all the major championships that, and by the way, Bob, I did a little math in my head. We are approaching our 50th major championship coming up.
Nice.
Covered, on-site covered. So we're getting close to 50. That's pretty good.
50.
When I think back on all of the majors I've seen, Phil Mickelson winning his first major, the Masters in 2004, making the putt, the jump, the excitement, the finally moment.
Yeah. Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
I agree. The other one that was pretty cool was when he started making that comeback on the back nine. He gets on 13, he hits it out of the pine straw. That was another cool one too.
Yeah, that was, well, that shot, you're right. As far as dramatic shots.
Yeah.
Speaking of dramatic shots, Tiger chipping in on 16 against Chris DeMarco in 2005. Now that wasn't the 18th hole, but that's coming down the stretch. That was the separator. That was a huge moment. Bubba, how about Bubba in 12? Out of the trees on 10 in the playoff. Hooks it onto the green somehow. Remarkable. I mean, to win the Masters, remarkable stuff. All right, let's go. There's others, but let's keep it moving. The PGA Championship. You know, I look at two of them. From Valhalla, Tiger in 2000 against Bob May, and Xander, you know, just a month ago, and the way he was able to come down the stretch and make that putt.
You know, what's so cool is they both made birdie on the last hole, and Xander had to make that 5 or 6 footer on the last hole to win the golf tournament. Just very reminiscent of Bryson doing that this last week at the U.S. Open.
The other two I threw in there was Morikawa in 2020 at Harding Park. Make an eagle on, what was it, the 16th hole? Drives the green?
Yes, it was the 16th hole. He drove it on the green and made about a 6 footer or so for eagle take the lead.
That was ridiculous. That was crazy good stuff there. That's a shot in major championship. And unfortunately, that was COVID, so nobody was there to really go crazy, but people would have gone crazy. And then Kiowa was just insane in 21 when Phil Mickelson won, become the oldest major championship winner at 51.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yep. That was good stuff. U.S. Open, I think a Retief Goosen in 04 at Shinny. All those one putts he made down the stretch. Yep. Phil Mickelson in the bunker on 17. Maybe hit a rock or something and came out long. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of drama there. Tiger Woods, Torrey Pines, 2008. Does it get any more epic than that?
That putt on the last hole, you know, he had to lay it up and laid it up in the rough and then hit that ball pin high to about 12 to 15 feet, and then that ball's just sitting there bouncing along and dove in the hole to make it into the playoff, and then won the next day on the 19th hole against Rocco.
And that putt he made was just an absolute minefield that it had to go over in order to fall in, which is amazing. That was remarkable. Pretty good drama. Jordan Spieth, Chambers Bay, 2015.
Yeah, making that 25-footer on the 16th hole to keep going, makes birdie on the 18th hole, and then Dustin Johnson, unfortunately, three-putted that 18th hole. He was putting for eagle, knocked it by about 3 or 4 feet, and then missed it again, and Jordan Spieth ended up winning.
Heartbreak. When you think of bunker shots, probably the only comparable one, at least I'm sure we could dig deeper, but Matthew Fitzpatrick, 2022, the Country Club, 18th hole, looked like maybe he was dead. Willie Z right there licking his chops, and what a shot by Fitzy, huh?
Yeah, it was his second shot into the green, knocked it right in the middle of the green and two-putted for a par to win.
And then some of the real quick ones in the Open Championship, 2007, Padraig Harrington at Carnoustie. I mean, after Sergio missed the putt, Paddy knocks it in. Stenson, 2016, closed with 63 to beat Phil, who opened with 63. Spieth in 2017, the go-get-that moment. I mean, pretty awesome stuff.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That one was crazy.
And how about just a couple years ago, Cam Smith at the Old Course also involved Rory McIlroy, but that was a heck of a finish. Those guys, and Cameron Young was right there.
Yeah, he made eagle on the last hole.
There was some crazy good stuff coming down the stretch on that one. So those are all really good, exciting major championship finishes. This one is right up there. We'll see what the caddy has to say about that coming up next, which is always enjoyable, but safe to say, this one's an all-timer. No doubt about it. All right.
This one was amazing.
All right. Coming up next, as I said, America's favorite caddy. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this thing. He wants pain. There was definitely pain. Caddy joins us next. You're listening to Real Golf Radio. By now, you've heard about Black Desert Resort in St. George. You've seen the picturesque photos of the Tom Weisskopf Design Championship Golf Course. You've heard that the PGA and LPGA tours are coming to Black Desert. You've probably heard there's going to be a water park and other things. You've heard right. But did you know that you can own a piece of Black Desert Resort? Go to blackdesertresort.com and sign up to learn about exclusive real estate opportunities available right now. The interest and demand has been enormous, and phase one is nearly sold out. As an owner, you'll enjoy discounted and priority tee times, discounts on spa treatments, dining, shopping, and more. And when you're not staying at Black Desert, you can put your unit in the resort rental program, which will provide rental income for you. Year-round family fun awaits at Black Desert Resort. Don't miss out. Sign up today to learn more at blackdesertresort.com. That's blackdesertresort.com. Black Desert Resort, unlike anything you've experienced before.
Hear that? That's the sound of 1.5% cash back on every purchase you make with the Agility Cash Visa credit card from Zions Bank. Whether at the grocery store, the dog groomer, or your favorite bistro, the Agility Cash card gives you 1.5% cash back every time, everywhere. For the card that pays, Zions Bank is for you. Apply today at zionsbank.com/agility. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See a banker for details. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, N.A., member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brian Taylor for my friends at Hoops Vision. As with any health procedure, you want to make sure you're going to get the best care with the best science, technology, and experience, especially when it comes to your eyes. I went through the decision-making process about getting LASIK surgery 13 years ago. I was tired of contacts and glasses, but I worried about having surgery. I went to Hoops Vision, and they walked me through a free consultation that put all my worries to bed. I appreciated the professional manner in which they interacted with me. I felt confident in their vast experience and the fact that they had the best technology. And I knew that if the best golfers in the state trusted their eyes to Hoops, so could I. 13 years later, it was still the best decision I ever made. I personally recommend Hoops Vision and want you to have the same great experience I did. Sign up for your free consultation at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's Hoops Vision and hoopsvision.com.
The new AI smoke driver from Callaway doesn't just have one sweet spot. It has multiple sweet spots across the entire face, intelligently mapped by AI using real swing data, making AI smoke an average of 7 yards longer. So whether you hit one off the heel, toe, high, or low, there's a sweet spot there. You won't just be longer from one spot. You'll be sweeter from every spot. The new AI smoke drivers from Callaway.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you here on Real Golf Radio, joined now by America's favorite caddy.
There are bag rats, and then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Ah, it never gets old. I must have heard that thing how many times over the last 20 years? Still sounds really good.
Love it.
Caddy, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm wearing my cape, fitting the music.
Just out saving the world one yardage book at a time. I like it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well done.
I think that could be Bryson DeChambeau's superhero walk-up music now.
Right? Hey, we would never let Bryson take your music, man.
Not a chance.
It's not for sale.
That's right. That's right. So let me just start with this. What did you think of the U.S. Open, caddy?
Tremendous. It was, you just look forward to watching the majors. I do for sure. And it delivered. It was a great watch. And I heard the ratings were crazy. The best since 2015, supposedly. So cool stuff.
I couldn't quit watching. I mean, it was not that I would quit watching, but I mean, it held me the whole time. I didn't get bored.
Oh, yeah.
And so many times, you know, in fact, the last two majors, if you will, I'm going to Valhalla and Xander, and guess what? Bryson was in the middle of that one as well. So, yeah, pretty spectacular stuff. It kind of had the things that you need. And Rex Hoggard mentioned that, you know, you've got venue, you've got good characters, if you will, that are in leading roles. And I mean, there was struggle, there was triumph. It kind of had it all.
Sounds like a Hollywood blockbuster movie for the summer.
That it's starring Will Smith. Yeah.
We laughed, we cried.
In a world.
In a world, in a world.
So what, Caddy, what did you think about the golf course for overall difficulty, play, that kind of thing? I mean, we started out first round at scoring average 73, second round almost 73, third round 73, and then scoring round came down almost a full shot in the fourth round. What do you think about the setup for Sunday?
I thought the setup was, it was really good. It's hard to argue, like, how do you objectively, you can't really objectively criticize a course in a major when you have that kind of leaderboard the entire time. The leaderboard was awesome the whole time, right? So
yeah,
when you have the best players being identified, as the USGA used to say, that's a sign that everything is pretty well done. Pinehurst is very unique. It's a rejection golf course. It's not a gathering golf course. So it rejects every shot you hit into the greens and some of the fairways on the front nine. That's difficult because that's not necessarily fun golf. It's just very demanding golf. It really takes a toll on your, you cannot play Pinehurst with a bad attitude. It will just break you. You have to be very resilient. You have to accept the old time Scots would love it because of one of my favorite lines in golf. When you watch Rory hit it into number five, his second shot on Sunday, what a beautiful shot. He hit it kind of where you need to. I mean, you're coming in from that far. You can say, oh, he should have hit it 6 feet right of there. Really? but the way that ball rolled back and where it ended up, it was an incredible punishment for a 9.9 shot. Got punished like he chunk hooked it. And I don't like that, but that happens when you push things a little bit and dry things out a little bit. That's
golf's
part of the
fair.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's the old saying, no good shot shall go unpunished, which basically describes golf, right? and maybe being, well, I'm not married, but you guys know what I mean. Anyway, no good shot shall go unpunished. And that shot got punished, and it's very unjust, but that's what you have to be able to handle injustice mentally to win a U.S. Open. It's a big mental test. It's a big gut check. It's a big, can you handle things not working out well when you executed well, and can you get over it and go on and go forward? And those guys did a great job of it. You didn't really hear a lot of complaining. You didn't hear a lot of moaning and groaning. And yeah, it's a sign that it's a really well done place in all categories.
It almost feels like we need to queue up, you know, you can't handle number two.
Yeah.
It's about kind of what you were about. Yeah.
Now when we played it, if you get a little moisture on it, I think it's totally fun to play.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And because look, even if you have the chili chunks with a wedge around the green, you can just pull out the putter, right? Just pull out the putter and put it onto the green. Ask Martin Keimer how that worked out. Different grass back then. You know, you can't do it as much now as you could before, but you can still do it. There's plenty of, most of the time, you can just put it right up there if you want. And the reason the pros aren't doing that is because they're trying to get it within 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of the hole. If you putt it, sometimes you might be 20 feet, but at least you're not playing ping pong or chunking it and watching it come back to you three times in a row. So anyway,
having said that, good execution of a chip on 18, or should he have putted it on 18, Rory?
I think he was far enough off the green, and it's such a long effort. I think that chip was the right move. And it's really hard to criticize. Look, you've got to consider the situation. First of all, you're trying to win the U.S. Open. You've been leaking oil for four holes in a row now. You've kind of lost your game, so to speak. You know, Rory hit maybe one good shot starting on 14, and that was the drive on 16. He really didn't hit a good shot. He had a nice bunker shot on 17, but he really didn't hit good shots starting on the 14th tee the whole way in. It's just, you know, that's what happens sometimes. And I think the chip was
and he
the
had
right
a two-shot lead.
Right. Right. I think the chip was a good move for sure. 100%. But, and again, this is being real critical because it's not like it's that easy to do. But you kind of have to put out of bounds behind the hole on that shot and say, if I'm 15 feet short, that's okay. I got a 15 footer up a hill like Payne Stewart did. You just can't go long on it at any cost. Now, Rory knows that. He wasn't trying to hit it 4 feet past the hole. It just happened. Yeah. It was just an unfortunate, you know, it's one of those things you just can't do that. Because that putt's just so hard from there.
There was so much good stuff right there in that last 2 minutes, the caddy said. If you're a golfer, which you probably are because you're listening to the show, there was so much. You could just rewind that and take that away. Like, some really, really good insights from the caddy right there. Look, going back to the chip, Bob, and I'll say this, and tell me what you guys were thinking when he hit it. As soon as he hit it and the ball was released and it was headed to the hole, having seen that and putted it up that hill, that same pin when we played, I was sitting there thinking, go. I literally was like, go, go, go. Because I was that hill. I'm like, that hill's going to eat that thing up, and he's going to leave 15, 20 feet. Now, in hindsight, that, as you just said, Caddy, you'd rather take that Payne Stewart 15-footer than the trickler down. But then it just kept going. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, he hit on the kind of on the downslope of that front section slope of the green, and that's when it just it didn't grab or anything. It just took off.
Yeah, I initially thought the bigger concern under the situation was that he was going to, I think did we hear chili chunk? Not that he was going to chili chunk. I believe that.
Chili chunk.
I'm still getting over that being used on the show. But I think chili chunk or hit something with
is
a little.
Is that with beans or out without?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see any of that all over the front of any 18th green. I'm like, that's just, or any green for that matter. But yeah, so. But yeah, and then it gets above the hole, and Bob, we talked about it. Bob had that putt, and he had it 8 feet. I mean, he trickled it past the hole, and it went 8 feet.
It went longer than 8 feet. It went 20.
Did it go?
Yes, it went 20. So, it went all the way down to the bottom.
So consider he only hit it about 2 feet past the hole from up there. That's remarkable.
Yeah, because it caught the edge of the hole, where if it wouldn't have caught the edge of the hole, it wouldn't have kind of stalled the momentum a little bit, and it caught the edge of the hole, and he was able to stop it, you know, a couple feet below the hole and knock it in. But man, that was, I sat there and I went, oh my goodness, I had this putt. I said, he better hit the hole or it's going 20 feet past. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, do you think that green was, I think that green was slower at the U.S. Open than it was when we played it, because you
might have been. Yes,
here we go.
Yeah,
you
I agree.
Almost keep that putt. You almost couldn't keep that putt from going. I hit a 6 footer. I hit it too hard, and mine went 15 feet by. But I mean, if you breathed on it, it could go 10 feet by.
Oh, and it was falling off. It was falling off the table as soon as you hit it.
Yeah, I can't believe it would have been. Maybe we just don't know how good we aren't or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway, leaving the putt alone now and going elsewhere. By the way, I think Rory hit. I heard Rom made a comment about how the announcers didn't really emphasize how hard that putt was and what was coming up. I agree. I mean, I thought, wow, that's the hardest putt I've seen in 2 years. Right there.
Yeah.
That's such a hard putt. And you didn't really get that communicated well.
We just helped him out. We had his back right there. We got Rory's back. We just said how hard it is.
Well, I think he hit a good putt. I think he hit the putt pretty much just like he wanted to. Clearly not on 6. That was a bad putt on 16. But I think
he took too much time on the putt on 16, especially once he got over the ball.
Yeah, he didn't take much time on the putt on 18, as I recall. I mean, he hit it pretty much in routine.
Yeah,
and I think he executed well. And he just, you know, it's just a knife edge putt. You have to get everything right on it just perfectly. But going back, I have one thing. Give me an estimate, and I'm going to go 75% or more. How many times did guys hit it in the native and have a shot that they could get to the green?
I think that's probably a pretty good number. I'll bet they've got stats on that. I don't have it in front of me.
Got to have a stat on it, right? Because it's amazing. So for anybody who is going to play Pinehurst, it looks terrible in there. It's like, wow, you can't go in there. That's dead. But you have shots, and it just never ceases to amaze me how often you have a shot at the green out of that native. And it's still not that easy. I mean, these guys are just good. So, but what do you guys think for the U.S. Open? Because my problem is my DNA U.S. Open says you hit it in the rough, you can't get it to the green, you got to chuck it out and go from there. That's kind of boring golf, too, when you think about it, right? It's a little more exciting when you can take a shot at it. But what do you think about the way, for example, let's take Bryson DeChambeau. You effectively, on most holes at Pinehurst, have 70 yards between tree line to tree line to hit a golf ball into. Now, 40 plus is fairway, and then you got 15 to 20 either side native, and then you have trees. So you have a 70-yard wide area where you're going to have a shot at the green 75 to 80% of the time. Think about that, what that means for Bryson DeChambeau. Let's just have a driving contest on every hole, right? You have to work the angle on number three. You have to hit a smart tee shot on three. But there's very few holes, and you might do it on seven too. Maybe, depending on the pin. But in general, it's just bombs away for this guy who can just hit it 40 yards past the whole world. So you guys had asked me, you know, I was saying I don't think it's a great course for Bryson because he has trouble controlling his distances, and you have to do that at Pinehurst. But I couldn't have been more wrong. It was a great course because he can just take advantage of that massive driving distance thing. And his short game was ridiculous. I mean, how good ship.
Yeah.
That it's crazy. And look, that's what we saw that stat before. Payne Stewart and Michael Campbell both had the best scrambling, and they won the tournament. Bryson had to be, if he wasn't the best scrambler for the week, I want to know who was, because his chipping was ridiculous. So that's really what Pinehurst mostly demands, right? Is you've got to be able to chip it well around the greens. That's the number one thing. And he did a great job of it. So,
Caddy joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Bob and I have been talking about where this ranks, the excitement of it, the shot, the bunker shot that he hit. The up and down on 18 was ridiculous with the U.S. Open on the line. So where does that rank in some recent memory or in your mind with winning shots required in major championships? And, you know, we started going through some of the majors. Starting with the Masters, we looked at Jack in 86, obviously, super exciting stuff. Not necessarily 18th hole, but right there. Phil Mickelson in 2004 to win the Masters. Tiger chipping in 05. Bubba coming out of the trees in 12 on the playoff. You know, the PGA Championship, you know, Xander, what he did this year was right up there. I mean, super exciting stuff and coming down the stretch. Tiger 2000, 2004 at Shinnecock, you were right in the middle of that one when Goosen just made one putt after one putt after one putt. Ridiculous stuff. What do you think? When you think about this, where does this rank from finishes, from having to hit that shot to get up and down to win a major championship?
I think I'm going to remember this one like Watson chipping in on 17 at Pebble.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's up there with that, right? It's that good. And what would have happened 90% of the time or more is that, look, it's a swing as hard as you can, chunk and run shot, right? You heard Bryson saying, I think Johnson Wagner asked him, were you ever thinking about hitting it into the clubhouse behind the green, which could definitely be a thought on that shot. And Bryson said, no, that was impossible because I was always going to hit it way behind it. And it was just a question of how well I executed it from there. It couldn't, he kind of made it sound like that was an impossibility. So that's a good little insight to his mental state at the time, which was perfection. I mean, you don't get a better mental state.
He said the second shot was where he was worried about it going over the green.
Right.
Into the clubhouse.
Right. Yeah. So good thinking on that shot, but you would, what you expect to see there is a ball that lands onto the green 5-6 paces. And you have a downslope there. There's a crown up and then a downslope, and then it goes back up to that pin. So you would really expect something to kind of chunk and run, land it on the crown type thing, and then it runs, and it's about a 15 to 20 footer up the hill, right? That's what you get most of the time on that shot. It's virtually impossible to hit the shot he hit. I mean, that's just a one in, I mean, I don't even, that might be a 1 in 100 shot. It's certainly a 1 in 30 or 40 at best.
In the situation, exactly, 100%.
And then throw the situation in. I mean, it's just that good. That's a top 10 all-time final hole of a major shot. It's that good.
I love it.
Yep.
Caddy, thanks so much for joining us, man. Super thrilling. It was fun to talk about it all week, and I hope there was enough pain in there for you, because it was, Rory certainly is experiencing. He's taking a few weeks off to deal with it, but man, Bryson put on a show. Both of them put on a show, and Tony put on a show with a 67 on Sunday. It was good stuff. It was a fun major to watch, and man, I just can't look. I can't wait for the Open. Let's go. Bring it on. Let's do another one.
We're turned this year, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Man, good golf course there. That's a good golf. I've played there, actually. That's a good golf course. Well, Turn hurt me. Turn actually injured me. The rough. I hurt my finger. I hit a second shot on the first hole. I hit a 7-iron out of the rough, and it grabbed the club, and I sprained like a finger on one of my, I don't remember even which hand it was, but I'm like, wow, I've never had a golf course hurt me on the first hole. That's just wrong.
It's dangerous. But it really is.
It was also 41 degrees when I played it in October. So anyway.
More on that to come. Thanks, Caddy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. That's the Caddy right here on Real Golf Radio. It's a fun show. Hope you enjoyed it. What a finish at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. Congrats to Bryson DeChambeau. What a show. Hoping to see Rory McIlroy get back in the saddle here real soon and give it another go. It seems like he's hopefully due to pick one up after a decade absence. For Bob Casper, for our producer Dave Glauser, I'm Brian Taylor. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Real Golf Radio.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home.
We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.